Hello, it is October 26, 2015. You are looking live at Kansas City, Missouri. This is episode 5.33 of the Willich Experience Podcast, Sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Willich, and thank you for spending part of your day with me. Sorry about the choppy intro there. I haven't done an intro for a while because I've just been doing preview podcasts with Allison Futter. We're actually doing another one today, as a matter of fact, with Allison. We just talked. You're going to hear it in just a second. In the lobby of our hotel here in Kansas City, Missouri. We are not sharing a room, but we are sharing a hotel. And so we just met to preview the World Series. She's on her way to Kauffman Stadium. I am far too bad at media days. I'm terrible at media days. Today is media day for game one of the World Series. I'm terrible at them. So I'm not going. I'm staying in my hotel room and working like a hermit, like a sad, alone person. Anyway, the World Series is here. It is Mets Royals, as the ancient scrolls predicted. So we've got Allison here to talk about it. Also this week, I'm going to have Michael Pena, who is a NBA writer for Sports on Earth. He's going to preview the NBA season. We're actually going to have that podcast, I believe, on Wednesday. And we're bringing trivia back for that. So that'll be fun. So not all of the, in my weird nomenclature for these podcasts, or numerology for these podcasts, not all of the footer preview podcasts have got numbers. 5.33, what we've done on this one. But we're doing a number for this one, because time to get back on the number train. Chew, chew. So here is Allison and I talking into my iPhone downstairs in the lobby. And then I will be back on Wednesday with Michael Pena. Hello, I'm here with Allison. We are in person. Unlike last time, there's not other people talking. I think it was Jack Morris talking last time at the All-Star game. The last time we tried to do a podcast, Jack Morris was doing a panel next to us and talking. Now there's just a man drilling right outside my room, 19 floors up, but we can still hear him here. I'm here with Allison Futter in a hotel here in Kansas, downtown Kansas City. I'm happy to be talking to you in person, Allison.
This is really fun. We're looking at you. We're actually physically looking at each other.
She has actually been strategically looking over my left shoulder and not had to look at me the entire time, which I do not blame her, and I certainly understand that. So you have been here. So you've been on the Kansas City beat throughout this entire playoffs.
Yes, you could say that I was first on the Astros beat.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Yes.
So it was Astros and then ALCS, no matter what, and World Series, no matter what.
So you have gotten – I was in Kansas City for the first time last year for the World Series. In fact, I've only seen Kauffman Stadium during World Series games. I assume it's like that all the time.
It's getting pretty close, though. Their attendance.
Yeah, it's great. No, it's definitely great. But, like, certainly, like, it's very funny that I have friends of mine that are Royals fans that are like, yeah, it's so weird. Like, you should have seen it in, like, 2002. It was, like, the saddest little place with the mascot with the crown sewn into his head. It's very sad. Anyway, so you've been in Kansas City for a extended period of time now. Have you learned anything great about Kansas City? Can you tell me anything fun about Kansas City?
No, I mean, Kansas City's great. Yeah. And see, that's the thing. When I dropped my car off with the valet yesterday, and he's a young guy, and he said, oh, I bet you wish that, you know, you were in a more exciting city like San Francisco. I said, let me tell you, Kansas City is one of the great underrated baseball cities.
Oh, totally.
Considered by writers.
And not just because of the barbecue.
No, barbecue's one part. You know, it's funny because all the writers
are
starting to tweet about
it. Oh, it's unbelievable.
And I'm like, oh my God, I can't even count how many times I've had barbecue this month. So now people want to go to dinner, and I'm like, can we skip the barbecue? But there's like these great areas, great restaurants. The people are great. I've been all over the city. I had to find myself a laundromat yesterday to do some laundry. Mm-hmm. And it's great when you have a GPS because then it just takes you everywhere. But no, Kansas City is really good. There's two different areas. We're downtown now. Mm-hmm. There's also Country Club Plaza. But yes, I really like it here, and you know, we writers, we like to kind of moan and complain.
Yeah, I mean,
Kauffman Stadium is the best working environment in baseball.
Yeah.
So if we're going to have a World Series, we have to stuff thousands of people in the media. It might as well be in the best press box and the best stadium. There's nothing more convenient, so I'm totally happy being here.
My big thing about Kansas City, but the Royals in general this year, it was very weird for me. I wrote a piece about this, the strangeness of having the four teams that were in the playoffs in the League Championship Series. Everyone was so excited about, like, the underdog Blue Jays and the underdog Mets and the underdog Cubs, and the Royals were, like, this weird establishment team, which is so strange,
considering
last year they were the big crazy story and they were the big fun story. And so now, it's funny, I wrote this morning, I went to the Chiefs game yesterday, and I talked to some people there, and it's the vibe that they kind of have for the World Series this year is a little bit different than last year. Last year, they were just like, we're in the World Series. This is amazing. There's definitely a little bit more,
All right, now we need to actually win this thing.
Even Ned Yost said it. I mean, Ned Yost has said it a few times. He says, last year we were just happy to be there. Winning the wild card was enough for us. I mean, he said this in the middle of the ALCS. Winning the wild card was enough for us. Now we have a totally different mindset. Yeah. And it's funny because now everyone's like, oh, the Royals again? It's like,
it's so weird.
All it took was 1 year.
I know. It's unbelievable. Like, it's like, I understand if the Cardinals would have made it, I get why people would have been upset. It seems very strange to me that the Royals would be the old hat team.
I mean, to win two pennants in a row. Like, it's not just that they've been to the playoffs 2 years in a row. You know how hard it is to win a pennant, and they've won two in a row, this mid-market team. I think it's great. I love the team. I love this matchup that's coming up because they're so different. The two teams are so different. But Salvador Perez is, like, my new baseball hero. That man has taken such a beating.
Yeah.
I mean, his trainer, the athletic trainer for the Royals, was giving him smelling salts during one of the games in the ALCS because he was getting so banged around. Right. And then I think
he got hit. Like, there were, like, three foul balls in a
off
row.
His face, off his mask. Yes. And then he gets, like, a base hit later. So he is just, I mean, he's going to need a lot of rest this offseason. But it's just a really fun team to watch. I mean, Alcides Escobar is the MVP. Like, scrappy leadoff hitter. Was the MVP. It's just great.
Yeah, it's fun too because when you look at the Mets are this, it's funny because last year felt like the Royals season in the postseason. Uh-huh. This feels like a Mets one. This feels like the Mets have been the team that everyone's been excited about. The Mets, they've got celebrity fans. Mets fans love to tell you how much they suffered. There's nothing Mets fans love to do more than to tell you how much Mets fans have been unhappy for a long period of time. A Royals fan might argue they were actually unhappier for a lot longer period of time. But of course, that's that old debate is, would you rather have your team just be terrible for an extended period of time and nobody care about them, or get really close and have their heart broken? The Royals actually are finding this experience out in real time, actually. But the Mets are that team that has, like, some very high-profile, very difficult losses. And obviously, the last 10 years have been really bad, really hard. But everyone's so excited about the Mets just because of those pitchers. Like, they have all four of those guys. It's weird because, you know, the Mets, if you look at the regular season team, they weren't that great. They were not actually a great regular season team. They weren't even that great after the trade deadline. The Nationals just imploded. The Nationals completely fell apart.
Right.
But, like, in a way that was entertaining, we've discussed many, many times.
I miss the Nationals.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of sad.
I forgot how, like, I didn't realize how focused I was on them until there was nobody to make
fun
of them.
Like, exactly.
I'm like, Matt Williams has been fired. Now what am I going
to
do?
Yeah, this is generally the problem with playoff teams, is that, like, oh, you guys are competent. There's nothing to mock you about. It's really a shame. But when you look at the Mets, you know, it's easy to think that, wow, they've just got those starters. Never mind Mats, just those three starters, just throwing BBs and just striking everybody out. They're not, none of these guys, this is not Kershaw, Greinke, and Arrieta. Like, these are three good pitchers pitching really well right now. Mm-hmm. But, like, these are not, you know, these are not three ace guys that have been unstoppable all year, particularly Harvey. Harvey's actually, he's their number one starter, which I think was a surprise to a lot of people. I was also surprised. I get that, like, it works out well with the way the rotation's set up. But I was surprised that Harvey was actually the game one starter. Syndergaard and DeGrom have both been better than him pretty much consistently all year. And Harvey did tire a little bit. So there may have been some weirdness with the pitch count and everything. But I was surprised that Harvey was a game one starter. I think he's actually probably the least of those three. I think Mats is the fourth starter. But I think I would rather have DeGrom or Syndergaard in that game.
I would rather have DeGrom in that game to just set the tone. And you hope, I mean, to think that, okay, we're going to win this game if DeGrom's there. Just to get that first win, I think, is really important. But I don't know. With how much rest they've gotten, how much time off they've had, which I think might work against them.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they like the matchups better. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's hard to say.
It's weird. And it's funny, too, because Harvey always gets that crowd so fired up. Mm. Like, he's such, like, they all get their Batman masks hats on to have him start on the road. I was just a little surprised by that. But but when you look at Kansas City, like, that is the vibe, though. When the Mets, to me, feel like a team that, like, never written about this. Those stars are still coming back. But this still feels like it was kismet for the Mets this year. Like, it feels like everything has fallen just right for them. Next year, the Nationals are going to be back, and they're going to be good again. And I don't know about the Marlins or Braves or Phillies, but certainly I think it's, like, the Mets are certainly, you can see them having a route to get back. But everything fell just perfectly for them this year, even with the money. Even with the idea that, like, the reason they were, you know, Howard Mechtel's reported that the reason they were able to even sign this trade for Cespedes is because David Wright got hurt and Mejia got the suspension. So all of a sudden, there was money that just fell from the sky they would not have had otherwise. So Cespedes, I think, is one of the main reasons they even made the run anyway, and the Nationals.
Oh,
so,
for sure.
So when you look at the Mets, it feels like they have to win it this year. Everything falling just perfectly for them. Their fans certainly feel that way. I think they feel like this is the somehow magical year in a lot of ways. And so they run into a Royals team that weirdly, for a team that I guess is sort of should be the underdogs, they feel like the ones trying to deny history, even though they haven't won a World Series in 30 years ever. Do you? I'm curious, how much time have you spent at Citi Field? I've spent Citi Field's one of the stadiums I've been to a lot.
Not much at
all. Not much, yeah, because I feel like Citi Field is... Coughlin last year was really loud. I think it was one of the stories of the playoffs last year, how loud it was. Even if you were in that little auxiliary press box like I was, and you had to... You would open up the door, and it was like cold, like you've been inside in the heat all day, right. And then you open the door and get a blast of cool
air.
Yeah,
I don't think that area is available for media this year. I think they turned it into something else. You're talking about the...
Yeah, the little thing.
I think that's been...
Oh, good, maybe we'll be outside. That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping. Because actually, during that last half inning, I actually went outside and, like, stood in the standing room only section, which is really great during Gordon's hit because everyone just lost their minds. And it's so much more fun to be around out around fans. But Citi Field, to me, is going to feel like a gladiator movie. Like, yeah. It's going to feel like a Coliseum. Like, I feel like they are so primed for that particular Mets team, particularly if this series is 1-1. I feel like if this series is 1-1, it's going to be hard for them not to win 2 out of 3 in that series.
Yeah, I think that every stadium is loud. I mean, I've had a lot of, like, fans from the different places that I've been, and they're like, so tell me.
Yeah, is ours louder?
Is ours the loudest stadium? Yeah. Like, well, I mean, I don't know that you can compare Rogers Center to Kauffman Stadium. They're both, insane. Citi Field, I've only seen it filled the All-Star game.
Yeah,
but the times that I went there with the Astros, then they were, you know, not a good team. And
the
place
no,
was
there,
like, half-filled.
Yeah.
But it's such a great ballpark.
It is.
I have a feeling. Yeah, but that was a really loud, now that I think about that All-Star game, that was really loud. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and they are, and you know, they are again. They're the self-dramatization of Mets fans. The idea that this is the culmination for so many years of suffering, and the Royals' suffering is, of course, irrelevant. That they're somewhere in the Midwest, somewhere.
They weren't like ridiculed. Like the Mets have sort of been like
they've
the
been
butt
the
of everyone's joke.
Yeah.
Whereas the Royals have just been like they just were just terrible and poor and. You know, just for whatever happened. But the Mets have always just, they've been this big market team that's been, you know, like everybody's punching bag.
Yeah, they were that joke in July.
Right.
Now, people were still making fun
true.
Of them in July.
I remember saying, like, the Mets are Metsing again. And all of a sudden, I'm like, ooh.
Wow, they just are totally in the World Series.
Yeah.
So for me, that's, to me, starting out, Kansas City needs to win. It would benefit them a lot to win these first two at home. To take home field advantage, because I do feel like going back there, particularly, I feel like game one is particularly huge because it's a game Kansas City should win. Mm. Like, I feel like they actually, like, that is, like, again, I think Harvey's the worst starter that they have.
Yeah.
And, you know, it feels like that's a game that if the Mets can win game one, you start getting worried about the Royals in the series.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you have to always worry about the Royals because the Royals find ways to just... they're not going to overpower you, and they're—I mean, the Mets on paper, like to me, are the superior team. I guess because of the pitching. Mainly.
Yeah, and if Daniel Murphy's going to hit like Babe Ruth all series, right?
He's not going to do that. Right. I don't think he's going to do that in the World Series. But yeah, I mean, the Royals just—they just refuse to go away, and they just find ways to. You know, we learned a lot about Escobar, how he always swings at the first pitch. I mean, we were talking early in the series about like, hey, he's been swinging at the first pitch, and he's been getting doubles, and but. I think that the Royals, I mean, I feel like there's, on one hand, I feel like there's something to be said about a team that has to just keep playing and doesn't really get a long break and that they have, like, more of the momentum. I also feel like they're getting really kind of tired. And then on the Mets side, I feel like they're going to be really, really well rested, but I think that, like, having a week off could also just sort of damage their rhythm a little bit. But I feel like the Mets are going to win this, but... I just feel like the Royals could also win.
I agree with both of those statements. To me, that is the... It does feel like the Mets should win. Like, it does feel like the Mets...
I just feel like they're going to find a way not to do it.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Your starting pitching is really, really good. I mean, there's nothing that says
there's
that
no pitching
all four starting pitchers could get through 7 innings every single day and be fine, but there's also those, like, last 2 innings, and, I mean, there's just, like, no way to handicap this, and that's why I find it so fascinating, because they have nothing... These teams have nothing in common, and it's funny, because the Royals, to me, are a nationally team. And the Mets, could really pass for an American League team, so...
Yeah, there is... It's always a fallacy in series like this that you see the pitching matchups and you pick the team that has the more superior pitching matchup the rest of the time. It's always a fallacy they do
it.
It doesn't turn out that way. This is why I keep picking the Dodgers every year and I keep getting it wrong every year. Because it always feels, I think we still are reliving the 2001 World Series, where it's like, oh, they have Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling. No one can beat them. And even then it took 7 games, and even then they just barely do it.
Right.
So I think the idea, just because the Mets have the better pitching, and they do have the better, like, there's, I don't think there's a game in the series they're not going to have the pitching. They're not going to have, even game four, I think they've got the pitching matchup edge in that, because I don't think the Royals know who they're going to start in that game. And so, even when Mats goes. So, for me, it is a mistake to do that. And because of that, you know, to me, the fear is, I know that we've all just decided that Ned Yost is just like, he's going to make a bunch of mistakes, but he just wins. He just does it. I feel like eventually those mistakes have to come to roost. Like, he made like three mistakes, even in game six, that you looked at and you're like, okay, this is going to cost him. This is going to cost him. This is going to cost him. And none of them actually cost him. And maybe Ned Yost has a magical elixir that allows him to overcome his mistakes. But man, like, he's going to keep a starter in too long. Mm-hmm. He's going to, even when he pinch ran for Morales, I thought that was really weird. Like, it's just, I know this is two straight postseasons where I felt we spent most of the time being like, man, Ned Yost is going to mess this up. Ned Yost is going to mess it up. And he hasn't messed it up, so I probably should stop saying it. But it seems like, of the two managers, I would trust Terry Collins more than I would trust Ned Yost.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Terry Collins might be less, like, thinking outside the box. Or, yeah. I don't know, maybe Ned Yost, it's because he's too much thinking the way that
he's doing it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, game six was like, I mean, he really, if Lorenzo Cain hadn't done that miraculous you know, run from first to home in 10.5 seconds, by the way.
Toronto was winning that game. Like, it felt like Toronto was winning that game.
And if Toronto had won that game, then I think Toronto would have won game seven. Yeah. I think that the Royals were just kind of beaten down.
It felt like Toronto felt like they were going to win that game, too. Even when Gibbons did that interview, I don't know if you saw the interview in the dugout during the rain delay.
No, I didn't see it.
He really just kind of had this cocky, like, oh, yeah. We're on this. We're good. Like, he felt very comfortable in a way that, like, you know, it's a baseball game, and, you know, not like a manager can be like, I'm comfortable now, and now we're going to win. But certainly the game had the vibe of a Blue Jays win. But again, it feels like every series for the last 4 years have had the vibe of a team other than the Royals winning, and the Royals keep winning.
Here's the thing, though. It's going to come down to Johnny Cueto, awful. Not only awful, his body language was terrible.
He was laughing when he came off the mound.
His facial expressions were terrible. Yeah. He was pitching and going,
he didn't seem to be making it take it very seriously. Yeah. It was weird.
And so you have to pitch him at home. Yeah. And if he has to pitch at Citi Field, he's not going to... I mean, so you take
Are you
going to
hear Cueto
mates.
constantly?
Yeah. Right. So your big question going to the World Series is the ace of your staff.
Yeah, that's probably.
Like, which one's going to show up? The Johnny Cueto before he got to Kansas City when he was at the Reds?
Or the one even in the game against
game
in the
five
other game.
During the, against the Astros and then one of the games in the ALCS. But and so that's why you have to think, like, if you're sending your ace out there and you think that there's a possibility he might blow up and you have to sort of have your bullpen ready to go. I mean, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's a particular problem too, because if he blows up the first game, they won't send him out. I can't imagine them sending him out for a second time. So then you're pitching Medlin or Young.
Yeah.
And
Chris Medlin, by the way, I mean, talk about lucky. I mean, he blew that lead, or he blew, what I don't know if it was tied or whatever, the game against the Astros, and then the Royals got him off the hook by coming back. Then he gives up the home run to Bautista. I mean, so he's not been, like, wonderful.
But you don't really have a choice. If Cueto, like, you're already dipping into Medlin or Young when you kind of don't want to.
Right. And now you got Chris Young, who, I mean, there's nobody that's got, like, more gumption than that guy. I mean, you just gotta love him, but
he's nothing but height and gumption.
Right, but this is like this is not the time to be like depending on these you know, lesser players.
And it is weird because, you know, I still don't think the Mets lineup is that great. Like, Murphy has been hitting so well that it feels like they're great, but they're not. It's really not that great of a lineup. Murphy, as an average, there's a reason the Mets keep saying, the Mets have practically had a press conference to say, we're not signing Daniel Murphy. I don't care how much he does. We're not re-signing him after this year. Someone's going to totally overpay Daniel Murphy
of
in the offseason
because
this is not who he is. But that said, you know, to me, if the time off hurts anyone, it's him, because he's in just such a mode now.
Exactly.
Like it's hard to, because eventually he will have to be Daniel Murphy again. And I think the best way for that to happen is to give him 5 days off.
Exactly.
So I'd be like, oh, right, I am totally Daniel Murphy. So to me, that's where the only thing that makes me feel better about the Royals is the bullpen and the idea that you can get away with. The Mets lineup is not the Blue Jays. It's not the Blue Jays lineup. Like, you're not gonna, and so, but I have to say, maybe it's time to make a prediction now. I have a hard time not picking the Mets in the series. Like to me, like I know it's my it's my pitching thing again, but not just that the Mets have the pitching matchup in every game. But yeah, you're exactly right. The Cueto thing is what makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. If Cueto shows up, the Royals can win this series.
Absolutely.
If he pitches like that, I think he absolutely can win this series. But I don't know what would make anyone think that that would happen.
No, I the other guys haven't been dominant either. I mean, the further you get into the postseason and the more these guys are pitching. I have to say probably like the Mets in six. I think it's going to take six or seven games.
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to go Mets in five. I feel like if they can, I'm just worried about these first couple games. I think if the Mets get rolling, imagine if the Mets even get a split, I can see them pulling an 0-6 Cardinals and winning the three home. I actually can't see that, particularly with the way the pitching is going to kind of match up for them. And then I really do feel like the Royals need to win. For me to feel comfortable with the Royals winning the series, I think they need to win the first two.
Yeah.
And I just don't think they're going to do that. So I'm actually picking Mets in five to do it in Citi Field.
Okay. And so in the last 30 years, there have been 10 World Series that have gone to Game 7. So the chances of there being two World Series in a row going to Game 7, probably not that
probably
great.
Not happening.
So it's probably happening.
Yeah, of course. My least now. This is my third year of traveling to the World Series. I went to 06 World Series game in St. Louis, and I covered the games in New York in 09 for New York Magazine and the Yankees. But it's the third straight year where I've gone to every game of the World Series. And it's weird how, you know, I mean, it's... I've never done the... You're much more experienced in travel than I am. I've never done the... Do I buy... the last out, the first thing I do is click the purchase flight button.
Right.
Or I hit the...
Just buy the refundables. Yeah, buy the refundables. Southwest, right. 10 days ago. I had every scenario done for Kansas City, Chicago, and New York.
Yeah.
Toronto
all
was separate.
Yeah.
Yes, and so then I just started canceling everything. So I am set.
You're set. So you're set no matter what.
Yes.
Set no matter what. But it is a very strange thing. Like, at least during a regular baseball season, you know, okay, they're playing Monday.
Right.
Playing Tuesday, they're playing Wednesday. The idea that game five, no matter what happens, game five always feels like unless it's 2-2 already.
Right.
Like it's the idea, like, wait, am I just flying to, it would have been, even imagine if we'd have been going to Canada.
Yes, that was...
Or like, wow, am I flying into another country?
Exactly. It was a little stressful having the... I mean, Toronto is an amazing city, and I'm so glad that I was there and I saw it, but it adds a lot of stress from a logistics standpoint, trying to get this thing worked out.
Well, I'm excited. So, well, you're heading over to the ballpark now. It's Monday now. I will probably... you guys will be listening to this tonight. So you're heading over to the ballpark now. I'm not heading over there until tomorrow, but I'm very excited to... Are you going to be in New York or no?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. So we're both in for the long haul.
Yes.
But then perhaps we will do this again at some point in the World Series.
Absolutely.
If you have time. It'll be fun. But mostly, I'm glad we got to do this in person.
Me too.
Okay, be safe. So your pick is Mets in six.
Mets in six.
My pick is Mets in five, and which means, of course, the Royals are winning this game in seven. Winning in four over Ned Yost doing something.
That's not happening. I don't think we're not going to see as a sweep.
We're definitely not going to see a sweep.
No.
At least not a Royals sweep.
No.
All right. Thank you. I'll have a good time at the park, and we'll do this again this week.